Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mound Talk Podcast, the podcast where we have on professional baseball players to give us inside access and details of what it's like being a pro athlete. Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode number 6 of Mound Talk Podcast and our first episode of 2021. Today, we have on James Marinen, who's a minor league pitcher with the Cincinnati Reds. He was originally drafted by the Los Angeles Dodgers in the fourth round of the 2017 draft and had a great two seasons until he got traded to the Cincinnati Reds on the 4th of July. James talks a little bit about that trade and much more, so let's just go ahead and get into it. All right, so I'm here with James Marinen of the Reds organization. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so my name is James Marinen, drafted 2017 out of high school. Went to high school down here in South Florida, born and raised here. Went to a high school called Park Vista. If you guys don't know, Trey Turner was drafted.
Okay.
Went to North Carolina, where'd he go? NC State. Mm-hmm. Got drafted out of that high school, but after we went to NC State, Austin Smith, another good guy at Park Vista, Trey Ambergy. There's big names that come out of that school, so glad to be part of that legacy moving forward. So,
were you teammates with anyone that ended up going pro too there?
Yes, actually, there's one kid. He's in the Phillies organization right now. His name's Brandon Bell.
Okay.
Yeah, so he went to Central Florida Community College.
Okay.
And I think he was drafted out of there by the Phillies in 2018. I think he only played 1 year there. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that one.
Okay. And then,
but drafted, other than that, those are the only names that I know that have come out of that school.
Drafted out of high school by the Dodgers. So once you started, junior year, did you know there's a chance that you weren't going to have to go to college? Or, I mean, at least even a junior year, did you know there's a chance that you were going pro? Yeah, of high school.
Of high school? I actually had no idea.
Really?
I didn't even hit 90 till my junior year of summer, my summer junior year, going into my senior year. Never touched 90, nothing. I was always a tall kid on the field, always threw hard, but not 90. So like I said, I didn't hit 90 until my junior year of high school. And then committed to UM going into my junior year of high school. So my sophomore summer, University of Miami commit, and then kind of progressed through the junior year into the fall, worked out, got stronger, played in through junior season, lights out, doing good. Had a few recognizations, if that makes sense. I can't really think of the name right now, but had a few. Wasn't anything crazy. And then going into my senior year high school, I only had 5 classes in high school my senior year. So I was at school from 7:30 to 12 o'clock every day.
Dang.
As soon as I left school, went straight to the gym, came back for practice, and then just kind of progressed through that. And here I am.
When was the point that you senior year that you realized I probably won't have to go to college, or did you even have that?
It's always in the back of my mind. It was always a thought every time I went out there. You have 10 to 30 scouts showing up to the games, and I didn't even know. It was crazy. There was one game I pitched. It was just after I was 90. I think I touched. Okay. So I came in to close for 2 innings. One of a big game. Kind of, I guess you can say that in high school is a big game. Came in close. I was 92 to 93 in the first inning that I started. And the second inning, I came lights out 94 to 97.
Wow.
Came out of nowhere, absolutely nowhere. So then I took my rest. My next start, there was 50 plus scouts at the next game.
Jeez.
So then obviously word got around pretty quickly. Guys flying in from all over the country. And I think from that point on is when I realized, look, this might actually happen. So and so, in that game, I actually touched 98. Was the next start.
Wow.
So, at that point, I was like, college is still a good option. Going pro is a great option. You never know. So, yeah.
So one thing I've always wanted to know, you see guys skip college all the time. What is the conversation do you talk to your college coaches at all? I'm not going to come, I'm going pro. Is that ever anything that's talked about?
I mean, if it was some other people, it could be a conversation. It's just a quick phone call, like, hey, thank you so much for everything. I appreciate you guys showing interest in me. I'm glad that I've signed my letter of intent or committed to so-and-so, but I'm going to go and take this offer instead. Personally, I didn't have that conversation. I think my agent had that conversation, but, you know, giving up the University of Miami, it was tough, you know, but at the same time, you know, I think I'm in a better spot and I made the right decision. So,
yeah, definitely. So when it comes to the draft itself, were the Dodgers, you know, one of the lead teams talking to you, or was it kind of like a, here's every team and it's like whenever someone picks you, like it could be anyone.
Yeah. So actually, I didn't even talk to the Dodgers. They kind of have like these like home interviews. Teams will come over to your house or whatever. You have interviews with them or just sit down and talks. They're called home and visits. And at that time, the Dodgers weren't even a team that even decided to come anywhere near me.
Wow.
I knew the area scout. I've known the area scout down here for a while since I was maybe a freshman or sophomore in high school. And we always had conversations back and forth every time we saw each other. And come 3 years later, here I am getting drafted by this guy who I've talked to since I was a freshman in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so the Dodgers weren't even one of the teams that had come in for a visit.
That's crazy. Do you did you have like an idea of like who you would think would take you?
You know, don't really have an idea. You never know what's going to happen with a draft. Me and my agents had conversations. We were talking twice a week, three times a week, just trying to figure out what exactly is going to happen. Obviously, you see everything that people read on the internet, and you know, oh, the Indians are going to pick this guy at 65, or they're going to pick somebody else here and there. It was always a toss-up. You know, those are things that you keep in your mind. And at the same time, you're also listening to your agent,
who yeah.
probably knows more than you do going into the draft. But, you know, it's a toss-up. Like I was supposed to go top two rounds first day. Didn't go. Went the fourth round. So, I mean, it's literally just a toss-up. You never know exactly what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. So about your agent, when did he come into your like career? When did you meet him? What was it like? I mean, I'm sure there was more than one kind of reaching out. What was it like finding them, picking them out, all that?
All right, here you go. This is a good one. So my buddy, Tristan McKenzie.
Okay.
My dog. Yep. It's been my dog since I was eighth grade. So I have the same agent he has right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's my agent. And what I come to terms with that one is his agent fell in love with me, had great time seeing me play, great times, you know, hanging out after talking and BSing and all the good stuff. And, you know, that's when I found out, like, you know, like I talked to my family, I was like, look, this guy's the one. I'd had interviews with other agencies. But knowing that Tristan speaks so highly of this agent and this agency, we kind of just went ahead and went with him, and I haven't had any regrets since.
That's awesome. So how do you know Tristan? Like, I mean, you said y'all were close.
Yeah, no, we still are. Actually, I'll be seeing him tomorrow. I have a baseball camp that I'm working with, Xavier Edwards and all those big names down south. So Tristan went to a high school like 30 minutes away from me.
Okay.
And obviously with Cressy Sports Performance, where I used to work out at, we've kind of gotten closer through that, you know, throwing and lifting and seeing him out in spring training in Arizona, going to our agency parties, you know, everything, like just growing up, everything just kind of got closer and closer. And that's how we know each other.
So it's kind of just like a, you know, being similar skilled baseball pitchers in the area, it's just kind of grown. That's awesome.
Yeah. Everything kind of just works out like that sometimes.
So a little jump back to kind of in that same situation, was your high school summer teams ever loaded?
Yeah, actually, yeah. There was
big teams out there.
Oh, yeah. So actually, when I first started playing summer ball, I didn't really know. I played for a couple teams. You know, one thing that got me on the map starting was I played with a team down here called Palm Beach County POW, which is the Police Athletic League. I played with them for a couple of years, and then I moved over to Rockets, the Eastern Rockets, which was a huge wasn't huge, but very well known for their main guy who knows basically everybody and anybody.
Okay.
Big colleges, small colleges, anybody you can think of, this guy knows. So I finally made a decision to switch over there. Had buddies that play for them. Actually, it's kind of where I met Tristan as well, going back a little bit. But so I moved over to there, and then I played with them for about a year and a half. And then I got invited to go play with FTB Tucci, which is the huge, big name summer ball team around the whole country, up in New York for a few days. And come to find out that the Rockets would be joining FTB and would be combining with FTB, being called FTB Rockets. And we were one of the best, besides Tucci, we were one of the best in the country. Big guys, you know, guys going play. We had, my last summer I played with them, we had, I want to say 95% of the team committed to big D1 schools.
Wow. Are any of those, do you know any of those pro right now?
No, nobody is yet, I want to say. But a lot of them are going into their junior year or their red shirt year because of COVID. And, but they're big on draft boards is what I've been hearing.
I'm sure, you know, being on that big of a team, going to big schools, those aren't likely going to be JUCO. So they'll still be locked in.
Nah, for sure. I mean, some guys are, you know, saying I'm putting the cleats down or this and that, but I haven't seen that a lot with the guys I played in through summer. It's more of the guys that I've seen in high school saying, yeah, I'm done. I'm just trying to move on. But, you know, other than that, I mean, I've seen a lot of the guys that I used to play with actually still work out at Tressie. And I've just kind of moved away from that and kind of doing my own thing. I'm getting programs from the Reds. And so, you know, all new driveline taken over in the pitching staff. So
I have a close friend with the Reds who, I guess he was with the Reds, but you can't really say that. He signed right before COVID. And so like, hey, like we're about to shut down, like don't come out here. And it was just a 1 year minor league deal. So he's been with the Reds, but he's never played for them. But yeah, he's saying like, you know, with Kyle Bodie coming in, and he was a driveline guy already, but he said like the coaching he got this year from being like, you know, remote was like one of the most like biggest, I guess the best coaching he's had in his career. And he was with you know, Tampa, Seattle, the Giants for, you know, a week or so. And he was saying like the Reds is like, he's really enjoyed that.
Yeah. It's been a good year so far, you know, them coming in. I knew they were coming in the year after I had surgery. So was that 2018? Yeah. 2018 is when I had, no, was it 2019? Sorry. When I had surgery. You know, I knew that they were coming in that fall. So it was a good transfer of positions, and everything's been going well so far. And I'm pretty excited to get going heavy and more like I have been all off season or basically all year.
Were you a driveline guy before that?
Never.
And are you now?
I'm a firm believer in driveline and the plyo ball stuff. I love it. I use it all the time. I use it literally every day. There was always stuff that I did when I was with Cressy before our throwing programs. We had weighted ball things, but you know, now it's a whole new like experience and world of weighted balls and plyo throws and stuff like that. So, you know, getting into that more and more this year, you know, I felt a huge progression so far. And I'm just excited to continue keep going. And
that's awesome. So, you know, we got a little off track, but like, so now you're drafted in the fourth round Dodgers. What is it like, you know, that first, I guess, week just from like, okay, here's the draft call. And I heard like, usually you have to like fly out like the next day, but what's that like whole week like?
Yeah. So, I mean, that was an exciting week. I had a party at a draft party thinking I was going to go, you know, first day, whatever. Pre-COVID, that's over with.
When those were able to happen, draft parties.
Yeah. You know, it was a good experience. That whole draft week was fun. Just hearing that my name getting called on that day is something I'll never forget. You know, I was really just sitting at home and turned the computer on because I knew it was coming. I just didn't know when. I was up at 6:30 with phone calls from different teams. And, you know, that whole week, you know, I think I was I think I was home for about a week and a half before I finally signed my contract. And they're like, you got to go. It's time to go. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I was like, how long am I going to be gone for? Like, high school kid, didn't really know what was going on. They planned on being gone for like 7 months. I was like, what?
And that's what, so that's June, maybe July?
June into September. I mean, that's not 7 months, but
you know,
plan on being away for a while. So, you know, I go out there, Arizona. My first week was different. It was something that I've never experienced before. You know, all these guys, you know, all the Latin guys, all the Dominican, like those guys are crazy. I love them to death. Mm-hmm. They're my favorite people in the entire world.
Huge energy too.
Massive. It's insane. You know, just that whole experience. You know, I was never used to it as a high school kid. And, you know, we kind of just showed up to the game in our uniform and that was it. Mm-hmm. Here you show up to the field, you practice before you played that night and you do this. So, I mean, that whole experience was fun. It still is fun. You know, I love showing up to the field, getting ready before practice and hanging out with the guys before we go out to the field and do all that stuff.
You spent, what was it, about a year with the Dodgers?
Yeah, just under a year and a half.
So now you got traded July 4th to the Reds. So what was that like? And, you know, getting the call and then just the getting your stuff packed. What was that whole experience like?
So actually, I had pitched the night before I got traded.
Wow.
I was lights out that. I went 4 or 5 innings, lights out.
Probably helped.
I mean, I don't know. You know, I don't know the logistics behind all that stuff. You know, all I know is what I saw on Twitter, so all social media, stuff like that, who I was traded for and what I was traded for. But yeah, so the phone call basically was, I got a text. We were getting ready for our game. We had a day game, 4th of July.
And was actually a home game or away game?
It was a home game.
Okay.
We were playing, I think, the White Sox or someone. I was still in AZL ball. So I'd gone to spring training, went through extended spring training. Started the year again back in AZO. So I got a text where I'm walking out to the game, getting ready to just hang out and watch the game and do the chart and stuff. And I got a text from the director and they're like, hey, call me when you can. Gave him a call. He, you know, congratulated me on my start that night, last night, the night before. You know, good job, this and that. He's like, well, here's the news. You just got traded.
Jeez.
And I was like, it's that simple. Just like that. I was like, wait, what? Like, are you serious? She's like, yeah, I don't mess around with this stuff. Like, you got traded. It blew my mind. Like, I didn't know exactly what to think and what to do. So, I just sat out there for a little bit watching the game. And he called me. She's like, I'll call you back. I got to figure out some more things. Call me back. Just sitting there watching the game. He's like, all right, here's what you got to do. You got to pack your stuff up. And we'll see you thank you for everything you've done, this and that. Like, you did awesome. And it's time to move on to a better place. And it was so like under the radar, like nobody knew about anything. So I'm like walking around saying bye to all the guys and like, are you serious? You just got traded? Like what's going on? I was like, nah, like Gomes just called me, which is the director at the time. He's like, yeah, I was just traded. And I ended up calling my agent. And my agent had no idea. He's like, are you serious? He's like, why would they trade you? I was like, dude, I have no idea. I'm just doing what I was told. You know, there's some things that, you know, led on to it. I was in my head, you know, obviously I'm here. They need help in the big league. So they're making moves and this and that, sending prospects around and stuff like that. But I mean, the experience is good. I love the Dodgers organization. It was a blast. I love the Reds organization. They're a blast.
What level did you get sent to with like when the trade happened to the Reds?
So I was in AZO when I got traded. I got sent to short season in Billings, Montana.
I was going to say you just had like a 30-minute move if you were still in AZO.
Yeah, no. Well, I had a 30-minute move that day, and then I had a 5-hour flight the next morning.
Wow.
No, but Billings, Montana is where I went in the Pioneer League. One of the best experiences of my life. You know, the bus rides may have sucked, 8.5 to 10 hours bus rides, but honestly,
It's a whole different level than Arizona League, where you the furthest drive is probably 45 minutes.
Yeah, that's it. 45 minutes out there.
Yeah. So what is, I mean, obviously besides, you know, like the facility, the rides, what did you see like the biggest difference in, short season versus Arizona League, you know, aside from just like the competitive, like the batters and all that, just the whole experience, what did you see that's a big difference?
The fans, not just the fans, but obviously, you know, the competitiveness is huge out there or in that level of baseball. You know, everybody's good in pro ball. Obviously they wouldn't be there if they weren't good. But you know, some of the best experiences I've had were just, you know, just being able to go out every 5 days and do what I have to do, you know, to try and get my team a win. And, you know, other experiences, you know, it's crazy going from no fans, the only fans you have is your team, the other team, you know, and all the video guys and stuff out there, to 2,000 to 3,000 fans every night. You know, that's one of the best experiences. You know, just playing in front of people again. And I mean, it was fun.
Do you have like a pretty high up there memorable memory from Billings?
Yeah, going back and facing Ogden, which is the batter's short season team.
Okay.
You know, and you know, I had, those are all my friends. They were all my boys. Mm-hmm. You know, just going out there and, you know, you never really face your own guys. And you knowing who they had and what they had, I knew I had a good mental preparation going into that game, you know, and being able to pitch, do that at home in Billings. That was fun. That was one of my better games. I had a blast doing that one, pitching that one.
Was there a lot of heckling from the dugout?
From the Dodgers?
Yeah.
Not really. You know, it's all love, if anything. You know, one of my closest friends were on that team, and you know, it was just fun. It's just fun, you know, seeing those guys again, and it's nice seeing other guys that you know and what they've done, and knowing that they can continue to move forward just like me. And
yeah,
you just got to congratulate them each way.
I bet that's special, you know, pitching like, you know, the year you were with that team, now with another organization. Like that way, it's not like, you know, say 3 years later you're facing the Dodgers, AAA, where half the guys are new to the organization. They're still pretty fresh, and I'm sure that whole roster you had at one point met.
Yep. Actually, that whole roster, I knew every single person on that roster.
Wow. And
so it was fun. You know, it was a fun game. You know, obviously the Mustangs ended up winning that one, but it was fun.
That's awesome. So back to, I guess, comparing. You spent, I guess it was 2019 spring training with the Reds.
Yep.
What would you say was the difference of like the Reds spring training with them versus the Dodgers? So like the, you know, maybe the kind of like program they have you on, is there differences or just anything like that?
Yeah. Every organization has their own differences. There's no doubt about that one. You know, just kind of going back and forth, you know, the Dodgers are a lot more relaxed, you know, laid back. They basically, their motto was, you do what you got to do, and if we need coaching, we'll coach you, and just kind of keep on moving forward and play your game. You know, with the Reds, it's kind of the same thing. It's gotten better. You know, obviously, make sure you come prepared, you know, to run, to throw, to do all that. And the biggest thing, I think, is the Reds spring training is a lot more intense than when I was with the Dodgers. You know, conditioning wise, you know, with the Dodgers, we had a 300 yard shuttle. My first year in spring training with the Reds, we had a 2 mile run in 15 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. And if you didn't pass that, there was an elliptical test, which was like 3,000 steps in 15 minutes on incline 10, resistance 10.
Jeez.
So that's 200 plus steps a minute.
Yeah.
That one right there. You know, it's hard enough. You have to go. You're running in, the elevation is completely different out there than here in Florida. So I'm running 14 and a half minute 2 miles, and I'm out there running, you know, 16 minute 2 miles. Mm-hmm. So it was difficult, you know, running the 2 mile out there, and then finally going into spring training last year with the whole new pitching staff taking over. They hate long distance running.
Yeah.
Absolutely hate it.
Is that, spring training this year, how long did you get to be out there for?
I was out there 1 year after my surgery. So I was out there in January.
Okay.
To finish. I had to finish rehab, continue to get stronger and healthy, and finish rehab out there in January. And then I left in right before March. And that was the last day we were there.
So you were there early, but were most of the minor leaguers there yet? At that point, it got shut down? Wow.
Were they there? Yeah, everybody was there.
Okay.
When they shut the complex down, yeah, everybody was there, and they sent everybody home.
That was crazy. Because
at that point we were getting ready to go and break teams, break camp, and a week later.
That's true. Later, it was towards the end of it, yeah. So Perfect funneling into this. Talk about like the experience of COVID, like the beginning of it at least, because I mean it's still going on, but it seems like it's pretty much back to normal. How did like that first month or so, you know, finding out like your training, like what are you doing going forward, like without knowing if there's a season or not, how did that affect you?
Yeah. So the hardest thing was, you know, going out every day and playing baseball and doing this and that, working out, running, whatever, all that in Arizona, to coming home and everything shut down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were getting programs, you know, all throughout the summer through like what technically would have been our season. And lucky enough, you know, I have some weights and stuff at home. I ended up going out and buying a net to throw. So yeah, I mean, just kind of pushing yourself, striving it every day. You know, I've ended up going and buying a bike and going a bike everywhere. And, you know, just the hardest thing is, you know, just mentality stuff.
Make sure if this
is what you want, this is what you're going to do. You know, that kind of that perseverance and stuff.
So for the first part, you just pretty much were stuck to home lifts and I guess throwing in the backyard or at an empty field.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I could do. I mean, everything was closed. Gyms were closed. Restaurants were closed. You know, it literally anything you can think of was closed here in Florida for the first month.
So did you, at what point, or even if you still haven't, at what point did you start to like have a facility you could go to? Or, I mean, I don't know if you're lifting at a facility or throwing there yet.
Yeah. Was that a couple months ago?
Wow.
Maybe 3-4 months ago. It's been a while since things have finally started opening back up. We're here in Florida in stage 3.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I mean, Florida's a different breed of people. Nobody cares about anything.
So you have, you know, you're back to normal when it comes to training and
ability. Yeah, pretty much. The biggest thing is just wearing the mask in the gym, you know, take it off when you get to your station and put it back on when you leave and wipe everything down.
Yeah. So in the sense of going forward, have you had any idea of like spring training, or at least even like maybe not like, hey, we're going to be here this day, but like, have they told you like for your throwing program, like, hey, we're going to start ramping you up at this time?
Oh yeah. With the throwing program, you know, I get updates, you know, we send in, our organization is on an app called Slack. Our whole pitching or staff organization, the whole organization is on it. So every 2 weeks we're sending in videos of our weighted ball progressions, our pull down throws, our throwing program in general. We're sending videos to our trainers for lifting and, you know, with weights and stuff like that. So they know what's going on. They basically send out the programs. So, you know, it's this and that and that and this, and that's when they want it.
Definitely. So with your program now, what kind of phases are you in lifting wise and throwing?
I'm actually going into a deload week this week, which is fantastic. And then throwing program wise, been in pull downs, long toss, and I'm actually starting to do a velo tracker. So with the pull down throws.
Okay. Awesome. So usually, or at least the last few, I feel like I've ended off on like asking what your favorite like pitcher of all time is, or who you think the greatest of all time. With you, I wanted to go a little something different.
Okay.
I guess maybe a little controversial questions of them for lifting. So it's going to be 3 different main lifts, but like, you know, there's one side of each, you know, from like baseball in general. So for the first one, front squat or back squat?
Front squat.
Is that something like, do you do back squat?
No. I have done back squat before, but I personally would rather, much rather do a front squat than a back squat.
Yeah, I think that's kind of how, like, a few years ago it was like, what is a front squat? And I've seen it kind of transition to more of what is back squat now.
Yeah.
Conventional deadlift or trap bar deadlift?
Trap bar deadlift.
Really?
I throw some weight around with that stuff.
is that like your reasoning, or just that's just what you like to do?
That's personal opinion. That's what I like to do. Mm-hmm. I don't have a preference on that one. I like both, but I'd much rather just do a trap bar deadlift.
Mm-hmm. I think that's one of those, you know, one, you can get more weight on that. And two, like, it's hard to have bad form on the trap bar.
Yeah. I mean, and it's easy form to fix if it's bad.
Yeah. And then the last one, dumbbell bench or barbell bench?
I don't know. I've heard controversy about this one.
Yeah.
You know, some guys say the barbell bench is way better because you can get your arms lower and extend more up. Others say the dumbbell is better because barbell bench press is bad for your shoulders. Mm-hmm. You know, I've heard different stories. I don't have a preference on that one, to be honest. I like both.
Do you do both? Like, doesn't, like, you know, the last year program?
I do both. Yeah, definitely do both. Ever actually moving more into this year, I've done more of the barbell bench than the dumbbell bench.
I think that's definitely something that, like, especially like you said, this year has, like, loosened up on, like, I've seen strength trainers start to be like, okay, we look back into it and it's like, there's no reason you can't do it. Like, I know mine, Kyle Rogers, he was with Driveline, and he's started to see, like, okay, like, Cressy didn't like conventional.
He hated it.
Cressy didn't like conventional. And then he's like, that's kind of like, he rode with that at the start, you know, when he was with baseball, he's like, you know, we're just going to dumbbell. And then he's looked into it and he's like, there's definitely a time to do it. And like, he said like, now he's not married to it, but he's definitely like it's in my program now.
Yeah. Obviously I was a Cressy product for a while. 6.5 years I was working on a Cressy, and at that time I could never touch the barbell ever unless I was deadlifting or squatting. That's the only time you could touch the barbell. You know, but now that I'm kind of on my own and doing my own thing, you know, working with Driveline in the organization, they're saying, yeah, hell yeah, hit the barbell bench, you know, they want us to get huge. That's the biggest thing. Get huge, get fucking strong. Part of my language, get strong, get massive. Look like, go out there and look like Lorenzen every day. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what they say. Do it. Why not?
I definitely think, like, yeah, like, you know, there's variations of dumbbell. That's great. And then there's also times, like, for some people, or just sometimes, like, in season, maybe dumbbell's better. But, like, I think when it comes to, like, right now, like, which one's going to help get you bigger and get you stronger is, like, conventional by far, or just straight bar.
Yeah, 100%.
So, also, this one actually is the last question. What is your, like, do you have one lift that you just, like, your favorite lift? Like, isn't, like, you know, you look on your schedule and you see, like, this is today, like, this is it.
Oh, arm farm, 100%. Arm farm, thighs, tries, shoulders, forearms, anything you can think of with arm farm, I'm all over it.
So big, I love arm any farm. Big arm lifts, pretty much.
Oh yeah, upper body is one of the better days for me.
Awesome. Well, hey, I wanted to thank you very much for coming on.
Of course, man. It's about time we got this done. It's been going back and forth for a while.
I wanted to thank everyone for tuning into today's episode. To find more on James, you can go at his Instagram at James_Marinin07. And to find more Mound Talk podcasts, you can find us on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and all podcast platforms at Mound Talk Podcast. Thanks for joining in.